And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Folks, I am coming to you from near Pikes Peak out in Woodland Park, California. Thank God I'm not in California. Colorado, at Andrew Womack Ministries. I'm out here, as a matter of fact, with Alexander Hamilton III and Bill Federer and David Barton and a number of others who are doing some biblical worldview recording and teaching and lecturing that will be coming out soon. So just be standing by for that. I am so grateful to be a part of this work because, of course, the big problem in our country, let's face it, is really not economic or political, it's spiritual. We're not wrestling ultimately against the Democrat Party or the Republican Party the left or the right or whatever. We are wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we've got to put on a whole armor of God. And we've got to begin to see this stuff through a biblical lens. Doesn't mean we don't have political responsibility. Doesn't mean we don't have to discern and choose which party, which candidate is standing in a biblical position as opposed to some secular, atheistic, worldly position. But we still have to understand that this is a spiritual battle. Yes, we've got to vote. Yes, we've got to be active. Yes, we've got to give. Yes, we've got to help. We've got to do everything in our power because faith without works is dead. But we've got to understand that this is ultimately, that, to put it here again, biblical worldview, to put it the biblical way, the battle is ultimately not ours, but the Lord's. That's why I'm confident we're going to win. That's why I'm confident this country is going to rise up and become and remain the Judeo-Christian nation that we were intended to be, a nation whose God is the Lord. That's why I'm confident that we're going to come together in this country across all racial and cultural lines as one nation under God, in spite of everything the left is doing to try to stop that from happening. I'm confident we're going to get our borders under control. It is the right thing to do. It is the appropriate thing to do. It is the responsible thing to do. It is not anti-Hispanic. It is not racist. It is simply being good stewards over the sovereign nation that God has given us. And anybody who says differently is frankly, they're just a power monger who wants to use these people to come in and get them registered and get them voting ultimately and increase the likelihood that these power mad people can stay in power. That's all it's about. It has nothing to do with anything else. Doesn't have to do with helping America because it's a detriment to our country. It's an assault on our economy. It's an assault on our culture to just bring in millions. You know, folks, they're talking about, we're seeing 10, I think the number I heard was 10,000 people a day now. Or that's where it's headed. We're looking at over a million illegal immigrants crossing our borders this year. I mean, we can't sustain that. We can't maintain that. And anybody who wants that, anybody who, as a matter of fact, I was going to open the program by saying there's good news and bad news, but let me get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's come back, first of all, and just talk about the fact that these programs and everything that happens is available to you on podcast. Folks, those podcasts on AFR.net are a very important way of measuring the engagement of our audience. So please check those out. I'm going to share some statistics with you today, and you're going to definitely want to go back and hear these because you won't be able to write them down fast enough. But I want to get into something that is only kind of marginally in the news. It really should be in the news in a big way. But I'm going to point it out and lift it up, magnify it a little bit so that you could take a look at it and realize we are going in a horribly, horribly wrong direction. And in fact, the direction which this new administration wants to lead us is suicidal. It is suicidal. And I know that's a strong term, but I'll show you why in a couple of minutes. So I want to remind you to check out the podcast, recommend it to your friends, tell them about it, and encourage people to go there, because those archives are there forever. And you can go back and listen to any program you want and check out anything that's been said. You know, it's one of the things I like about DVRing. If I hear something that's really good, or maybe I hear a statistic, I can save that, go back and make some notes about that and make sure I've got that, because stuff can happen so fast. And same thing is true here on our program. It can happen pretty fast. And let's see, is there anything else that I need to mention to you? I think that's really it. I hope that you also, yes, that's right. With regard to Andrew Walbeck Ministries, there is already a tape out, a video set out with me, David Barton, Bill Federer, Andrew Walbeck, obviously, and there are a couple of other people on it as well, whom you will know. And Andrew's donated a number of those tapes to me to get out to my audience. And so here's how we're giving these out for free. And, you know, they're a $30 value. But if you go to our website, standamerica.us, and you sign up to be a Patriot partner, and our Patriot partners are people who agree to give at least $5 a month to Stand and to our work. Sign up to be a Patriot partner. Then we will send you one for free. Won't cost you anything. And it is chock full. Talk about taking notes. It is chock full of some great information. So you don't want to miss that. Go to standamerica.us and check that out. Okay. I said there's good news and there's bad news. I don't usually open the program that way, but I felt it'd be appropriate today because to me, there's very good news. You know what the good news is? That the governor of Texas has decided to rescind the mask mandate and open Texas up, he said, for 100%. Folks, that is really good news. It really is. Because are you hearing the mental illness, the suicides, the other complications that are resulting among our young people because they can't go to school, they're stuck in the house, they've got to wear these masks all the time, they're restricted in so many ways, and it's having a devastating impact on their well-being. And you got these silly teachers unions who are so enamored of their own power. The only thing they care about is the power that they have to elect officials who will continue to do their bidding and continue to do what they want them to do, what it is they want, because it's certainly not educating children. That doesn't seem to be what they want because they don't want to open up the schools. And this stuff is just, this is what we are facing. This is where we are in our country today. And we have got to have an attitude adjustment here. And it needs to spread throughout the nation. And I think the governor of Texas has taken a big first step in the right direction. Governor Greg Abbott saying, we're going to open Texas up 100%. You know what I'm saying? About time. Somebody needed to do it. Our governor here in Virginia, folks, I can't even say. He's so far behind, he thinks he's ahead. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Kjeldrun Sweis admits that reaching your secular friends with the gospel is difficult, but there are things we can do to be more effective. He and I have worked together at the International Society of Christian Apologetics, so I was excited to see many commentators like Ed Stetzer and Eric Metaxas quoting him. Cardoon says we make a mistake when we ignore the trends and zeitgeist of the times, and we make grave mistakes when we try to stereotype people into this or that category. Sometimes the best starting point is to ask a question. When someone tells him that they don't believe in God, he asks, "What God do you not believe in?" He says that 9 times out of 10, it is usually a God that we Christians don't believe in. He has 3 principles we should adopt so that we can be more effective in reaching our secular friends. First, we must engage. He says we should sit at the table where we have the attention of your secular friends. Connect with them by getting involved with Apple computers, with Congress, or with sports. We'll be more effective if we sit at the table where most decisions are made by government, culture, media, and education. Second, we must inquire. That means we need to turn the table to listening and asking good questions. The Bible admonishes us to let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt. He tells of a student who told him that he did not believe in anything that is not physical. Khaldun asked him if his idea was physical. After all, not believing in anything that is non-physical is a non-physical idea. Third, we should edify. That means we should reach across the table and learn to love people redemptively. The gospel is ultimately about relationships, and we can demonstrate the truth of the gospel through love. These principles will help you be more effective in reaching your secular friends. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Billions of dead things. This is Ken Ham on a mission to call the church back to God's Word and the Gospel. What could bury billions of creatures, including many that shouldn't be found together? Well, slow and gradual processes over millions of years just won't do it. Take, for example, a fossil graveyard in Wyoming. In this one area of the state, they found fossil snails, reptiles, and dinosaur eggs all buried together. These creatures shouldn't be found buried together, yet they are. The fossil record is full of finds that don't fit evolutionary prediction, and that's because those predictions, they're simply wrong. The history found in God's Word is the true account. It tells us there was a global flood, and the flood buried all those fossils just a few thousand years ago.
Dive deep into science, creation, evolution, and worldviews at AnswersRadio.com and plan your visit to the life-size Noah's Ark when you go to our website at AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Who was Dr. Seuss's biggest fan? How much of the COVID relief bill actually goes to COVID? Under Joe Biden, expect to see more American soldiers coming home in body bags. The Supreme Court heard the first voter fraud case yesterday. How'd it go? And according to Arizona's education bureaucrats, how old do you have to be a racist? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So that's the good news. It is really great. I think people have had it with the mask wearing. They've had it with the lockdowns. They've had it with the restaurants not being open and not being able to dine and eat inside. I think people understand the disease now. They see the numbers of cases and deaths declining. I think people are somewhat skeptical even of the numbers we've been given because they know it's inflated by the fact that if anybody during this era has passed away, and you know, it's interesting, apparently very few flu deaths. Where'd they all go? Where'd all the flu deaths go? Because we have tens of thousands of flu deaths, or at least I think the last time I looked, about 12,000 flu deaths. Where'd they all go? So when people die in motorcycle accidents and their deaths are attributed to COVID, there's some reason to question that. But let's just take it at face value, shall we? Take it at face value. The numbers are declining. The deaths are declining. The rates are declining. It's time. We've gone through this mess now for a year, folks. A year. It's time to end it. It's time to get back to business as usual. And you know what I heard from people in Texas? Now we can make our own decisions. Now we can decide for ourselves. It's not like people are going to say, "Katie, bar the door. I don't care. I'm throwing it all out. I'll do what I want to do." But at least now people feel free to make their own judgments about their own health, safety, and well-being, which is the way we should have done it in the first place. I trust the American people to make those kinds of decisions if they're given accurate, reliable, credible information. So good for you, Governor Abbott. There is bad news, and this is on the COVID front. The bad news is that these hypocrites, these leftists, are actually allowing illegal immigrants who test positive for COVID to be released into the American population. Now, folks, that is so bizarre and so utterly crazy that when I hear myself say it, I almost want to say, that can't, it just, no, come on, that's not right. That can't be right. I mean, after a year of having been told, don't see your grandchildren, don't go out, don't go to the movies, don't go to the theater, don't leave your home. I mean, wear a mask indoors with your family. Don't have Thanksgiving dinner. Don't have Christmas dinner. Don't travel. And we've heard this stuff for a year now. But suddenly, people who aren't even American citizens and have no right to be here test positive for COVID and then are told, go on about your business. Head on in. How can that possibly be? Well, here again, folks, it doesn't make any sense unless you understand that the motivation of these folks is not the well-being of the American people. The motivation is power. See, when you understand that, then it makes perfect sense. They don't care if anybody gets infected with COVID, unless it's somebody they know or close to them, and these people aren't going to get anywhere near them. They care about getting and keeping power. And by letting these people in, assuming they don't die from it, and maybe not too many people die as a result of them bringing it in and giving it to people, these will ultimately become viable voters. And even if they're not voters that soon, they can swell the rolls of the census and give more congressional representation in districts where people feel that it can help them have more power in Congress. It's about power. And when you understand that, it makes perfect sense. You hear from the left a lot of talk about compassion. I've mentioned him many times before, and there are many parents of children who have been killed by illegal immigrants. At this point, I don't know the exact number, but I know it's in the thousands. And when Jamil Shaw's son was killed, and he went to his representatives to say, you know, how, by an illegal immigrant. They were all worked up and said, oh, yes, we're with you. We're going to help you, until they found out that his son was killed by an illegal immigrant. And then they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They didn't care about him, and they didn't care about his son. They responded at first because they figured, this is a constituent. He can help me. He can help me get elected. He can get his friends to help me get elected. But as soon as it came to be an issue around illegal immigration, they started salivating about the millions of illegal immigrants that they're going to get to vote for them. And what's one little black kid compared to millions of illegal immigrants who will get to vote for them? Who cares if he dies? Who cares if he's brutally murdered? What's the, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the millions of people who will vote for them. See, because you and I, from a human point of view, as Christians, it would not matter to us whether this kid was black, white, Hispanic, Asian. It would not matter to us if he was killed by an illegal immigrant or killed by an American. This kid is got a lot of potential. He's doing well in school. He's staying away from the gangs, the drugs. He's got a potential future. He's trying to do something with his life. And along comes some brutal thug and destroys that life. It makes you angry. It makes you sense this is a horrible injustice. And it doesn't matter. Somebody said, well, he was killed by an illegal immigrant. Well, that person shouldn't have been here in the first place. But with them, how is it, if you really have compassion and you really care about a person, how is it that you withdraw it when you find out that the person who's committed the crime is somebody you want as a future constituent or voter? And all of a sudden you go cold. There's only one explanation. You didn't care in the first place. You were just going through the motions. You were just mouthing support. You're just doing the political thing. And as soon as it became no longer politically expedient, you immediately withdrew the emotion. It's like wave your hand over your face and suddenly, oh, yep, I'm not upset anymore. See ya. I mean, and now we're going to send across the border illegal immigrants who've got COVID after mask shaming people and developing these kind of mass Nazis who want to look at everybody and make sure your neighbor is wearing, you aren't wearing them. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Remember when President Trump didn't wear a mask and he wasn't wearing a mask. Chris Wallace comes on the air and says, wear the D mask, you know, cursing. I noticed the Trump family weren't wearing masks. Wear the D mask. Yeah, I mean, but what will he say about allowing people to cross the border who've got COVID? Well, they'll come up with some stupid explanation that's supposed to convince everybody that in this case, it's okay. This stuff, folks, is really, I tell you, you know what I believe? I believe in 2022, there is going to be a reckoning for Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and all of these, and all of the Joe Biden, too, because he's going to lose control of both houses. And of course, he's only got nominal control of the House as it is. And controlled through the vote of Comrade Kamala Harris of the Senate. But I think they're going to lose them both, and they're going to lose them big. Because I think people are just, they're showing us who they really are. And I think the American people in droves are not going to like it if they're willing to look at the truth at all. And the DHS secretary, He's, of course, they're saying, we don't have a crisis at the border. We just have a challenge. Border agents have said, we have the largest number of children showing up at the border in history. Worse than at any time during the Trump presidency. But it's not a crisis. It's just a challenge. You got coyotes, human traffickers, drug cartels, making money off getting these people across our country and into our country. And by the way, you realize, don't you, that a lot of these nations south of the border are encouraging this stuff because their economies depend upon people being able to come to America, make money, and send money back to their home country. Their economies, I heard that Honduras, 25% of Honduras' gross national product comes from money shipped back by people who cross the border into the United States of America. 25% of their GDP. That raises a whole new set of issues aside from this COVID thing. But, well, folks, stand by. More to come, and we'll start taking your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
When I first started flying, I was scared. Every time I was in an airplane that took off or landed, I was very nervous. However, since I've become accustomed to flying, I find it pretty enjoyable most of the time. In fact, I guess flying has kind of spoiled me. I hate to drive any long distance now. I can recall an experience once when several of us were flying between Athens and Tel Aviv. We hit some turbulence, the worst I've ever experienced. It was so bad that even the sturdiest near me got into a seat, fastened her seat belt, and got into the safety position. Well, I happened to be sitting next to a salesman who was very experienced in flying. We had been discussing it, and he told me that he was accustomed to flying and thought nothing of it. It was, he said, the quickest way to get from one point to another. When we first hit the turbulence, I noticed that the salesman suddenly got out of his talkative mood. As we continued in the turbulence and it grew worse, the salesman grew noticeably nervous. I had become so accustomed to flying by that time that hitting turbulence didn't really bother me that much. I had decided on previous flights that the possibility of a crash was remote and that all my worrying wouldn't prevent a crash. So I concluded that in flying I was going to enjoy myself, and if we crashed, we crashed. It wasn't that I wasn't afraid of crashing or that I didn't mind the possibility that I could die if the plane crashed. It was simply that I had given my life to God, and He'd take care of me even if the plane did crash and even if I did die. During the turbulence, some of my Christian friends and I made jokes about the quick movements of the plane, laughed, and we had a good time. Soon the turbulence was over. The salesman sitting next to me called the stewardess and ordered 3 shots of whiskey. Yeah, 3 shots of whiskey. I guess if you haven't got the spirit, you have to have some spirits. Each time I remember that incident, I recall the tale about the very rich man who was flying for the first time. Maybe you've heard it. The plane hit some bad turbulence. The man became frightened. He prayed like he had never prayed before. He promised God that if God would let him get down safely, he would give God half of everything he owned. Well, the turbulence soon ended, and the plane landed safely. When the rich man got off the plane, he was reminded of his prayer by a Christian who had been sitting next to him. "I'm sure you're going to carry out your promise," the Christian said. "Well, sir," the man replied, "I have made God another promise, better than that one." "What's that?" the Christian asked. "Well," the man said, "I promised God that if I ever got on another one of those things, I would give him everything I own." Well, my only comment is that there are people like that.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, my producer directed me to some data, and this, according to the CDC, that the flu estimates are 12,000 to 61,000 annually, fluctuating all over the place, according to their estimates. 39,000 in 1 year, a much lower number in another year, but somewhere between 12,000, I think that's where I got the 12,000 number from, somewhere between 12,000 at a rock bottom and 61,000 at the top. I can't wait to see exactly what the flu rates are for 2020, because I have a feeling that there are none, that all the deaths, I'm not laughing at the deaths, folks, but just the numbers games that get played here, that all the deaths will be COVID deaths. So, but if you really believe that, if you, and I do believe, by the way, that COVID is a real disease, I had it. But if you really believe all the hype that the left has been giving us, why in the world would you even consider allowing people to cross the border? Well, the Secretary of Health Services for the Biden administration, they've got good advice for those coming across the border. Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of actually Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, is saying, we're not saying don't come. We're just saying don't come right now. Now, you know, that's like saying, we're not saying don't break the law. We're just saying, could you wait a little bit before you break it? This stuff is unbelievable. In other words, there. So we don't want as many COVID patients. We don't want too many COVID patients right now. We want some COVID patients to wait, and you can come and spread the disease around our country later. Yeah, I guess that's what makes sense to a liberal. Okay, let's see. Folks, I want to start taking some of your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Now, a couple other quick things that I want to hit. Joe Biden has said that he's planning to use executive orders to start slavery reparations. And I feel like I've said so much about that. I probably don't need to say anything more except just how dumb can you get? By the way, some of the things he plans to do, special treatment for minorities, I'm clear. They're unconstitutional, completely unconstitutional. Now, look, I documented that my ancestors. I've documented that my ancestors were slaves and sharecroppers, but what am I owed? I wasn't. And you know what I'm owed in my view, folks? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. For what? For something that happened to somebody else? Didn't happen to me. Why should Americans have to pay me for something that they didn't do to me and they didn't do to anybody else? I mean, this stuff is just, but here again, it doesn't make sense unless you understand. This is not about helping people. This is not about showing compassion. This is about power. And this is a way that they think they can get it and keep it. And it's abominable. It is so corrupt. And for him to think that he can willy-nilly, because he's president of the United States, do whatever he wants to do and start treating certain people special. And by the way, is he going to do the genealogical research? Because, you know, in 1830, I believe the number is half a million free blacks. You realize the people who arrived here in 1619 from Africa were not slaves. They were indentured servants, just like the people coming from Ireland, people coming from other parts of the world. They were indentured servants. And they were ultimately freed. They were given land. And they went on to build lives for themselves. What about them? Do we have to pay them too? Or is it just that the color of your skin is enough? Is that enough? I mean, this stuff is insane. It is utterly. And in the meantime, what you do is, you then divide the country, okay? You turn the country into a kind of tribal warfare. Well, this group, and by the way, I'm saying, well, why stop there? What do we owe the Italians? They were mistreated when they got here. What do we owe the Irish? They were mistreated when they got here. So maybe we don't owe as much to them as we owe to those who were enslaved ultimately. But we owe something. Let's start trying to do the math there. Figure out who gets what. What about the Chinese who helped build the railroads? I mean, this stuff. Folks, it's just. And for him to think he's going to do it on his own. Well, just a couple more quick things into your call. Stanford University wants to kick off this. People want to kick off the Republicans. Kick the Republicans off campus. More of what I don't call cancel culture. I call it communist culture. FBI Director Christopher Wray, in my view, is a deep state operative. He will never admit that the left is doing anything wrong. He thinks all the problems of the country and every threat to the country is a threat of white supremacists and right wingers. I have no interest, support for in any way white supremacists, obviously. But how can you have 500 riots inspired by the left and that's not an issue? And I've seen no riots from the right, but that's the real threat to the country. Let's you know what? Let's. Oh boy, 888-589-8840. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Terry in Mississippi. Terry, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
First, I want to thank you for your service to this country and your service to God and your fellow man.
I think you're a stand-up
Christian man who I really believe lives what he preaches. Some good news is that the governor of Mississippi also lifted our mask mandate and opened everything 100% as of.
Yes. I forgot to mention that. Great.
I think the school children may still have to wear the mask for a while, but other than that, everything is opened up. One comment I had is concerning the mask. I think that if President Trump had come out and worn a mask full time and told everybody they should wear a mask, I think the liberals would be up in arms about the very idea of someone telling them they had to wear a mask.
Terry, I think you are absolutely right. I think if he had done it, they would have said, there's something behind this. There's something behind this. He doesn't have any science behind what he's doing. In other words, he could do no right. And of course, Joe Biden, no matter how dumb the policies are he's starting to implement, he can do no wrong. Hey, thanks for the call, Terry. Let's see. Stan in Tennessee, I think you got about 30 seconds, Stan. Go for it.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you for all you do. I had a quick thought. Joe Biden here a while back said if you don't vote for him, then you weren't black. And I just wondered about something. I'm sure that quote unquote most black people do not go with homosexual marriage, and I'm sure I would think that most do not agree with abortion or this transgender or any of these crazy policies they're doing. So why do they give the Democrats a majority of their votes?
Well, Stan, that is the $64,000 question. I don't have time to give you a full answer right now, but I'll tell you what. I'm working on a project called Awakening Hearts and Minds to reach these black and Hispanic and other minorities who, in my view, have been indoctrinated by the Democrat Party to believe a bunch of lies about our country and to become perpetual victims dependent upon the Democrat Party for subsistence. And they've got to be released from that captivity, because you're right. They shouldn't be voting for people who are refusing to educate their children, refusing safety in their communities, killing their babies, and on and on and on it goes. And yet they vote for these folks. And there is no rational explanation, but we're going to believe God to get them delivered from it. Back in a moment.
Insanity seems rampant in our nation. Reason seems to have no voice in the marketplace. The American Family Association offers a tool by which you can be heard. The AFA Action Alert is an email opportunity to contact directly our representatives, entertainment sponsors, even corporations, saying we see them, offer a better direction, and when appropriate, acknowledge a job well done. Sign up today at afaaction.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
My mom gets up. She says, Brian Cuck, where were you? I said, Mom, I was at church. She said, I'm going to ask you one more time. And if you don't tell me where you were, I'm going to get your dad up.
Pastor Brian Cuck on Focus on the Family Minute.
I said, Mom, I was at church. And I said, tonight, I don't understand it. I said, but I gave my life to God tonight. I'll never forget it. My mom grew up in North Carolina. She went to a Baptist church as a kid, but walked away from God, married my dad who knew nothing about God. She dropped to her knees that night on our kitchen floor and hugged me around my knees and said, I've tried to give you everything as a mother. She loved to cook and bake, and she was a loving mother, but she said, I didn't give you what was most important. I haven't given you God. And that night, my mom recommitted her life to God on the kitchen floor at 11 o'clock at night.
No matter how old you are or what you've been through, God loves you and He wants to know you. More from Brian at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Oh, folks, isn't it wonderful to be able to talk to sane people in an insane world? And you all, believe me, you do me good to talk to you, because we need a great big old fat dose of sanity in the midst of this insanity we're dealing with. So God bless each of you. Let's come back to your calls. Joanne in Mississippi, welcome. Joanne, you are on.
Oh, hello there. Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
I was just calling with the same information your first caller had, that because we have to get the good news out, hoping it all spreads, that Governor Reeves opened up the, you know, all business can open to full capacity and no mask. Not that I haven't worn a mask yet myself, but for all those that have, yeah, hopefully we'll see a lot less
you
wearing them. And then it'll spread to other, hopefully, states as they
Okay, Joanne, you got to keep your radio. I hear your radio in the background. I hope that's not us, because I'm hearing a lot of feedback.
I have it turned off. Is it okay now?
Okay, that's much better. Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, great. We just need to celebrate and get it out and pray that more states will follow the lead. You know, the Texas governor, now the Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves. Let him go. It's just a thing to praise the Lord for.
Well, Joanne, we congratulate your governor as well. You all are now free again to actually live and conduct your lives as you see fit, rather than under the dictates of the government. So God bless you. Thank you for the call, Joanne. Keep up the good work. I don't know how you've managed to avoid wearing a mask, but I admire you for it. Let's go to Raymond in North Carolina. Raymond, welcome.
Well, praise the Lord, Bishop.
Praise the Lord.
Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir, and I hope you are too.
I am. Well, listen, we won't be congratulating the governor of the state that I live in, North Carolina, because he refused to open things up all the way. But anyway, my call was about the cancel culture. Anybody that owns old dictionaries or encyclopedias, I think it would be a good idea for them to keep it, because if you don't, you're going to lose the meaning of what words were.
Man, Raymond, that's a profound point. You know, in fact, they probably want to cancel those old dictionaries, don't they?
Yes.
Because you certainly won't find in those old dictionaries for the word gay, you won't find homosexual.
That's why I say we need to keep them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. We need to remember the true meaning of words because, frankly, this is one of the ways that they have twisted everybody up. They twisted vocabulary so that things no longer mean what they're supposed to mean. They mean now what they dictate to us they mean. And therefore, it's like the pronoun they. The pronoun they is now an acceptable pronoun for a transgender person. But it is a plural pronoun that means more than one person. How can a single person be a they? Because they say so. That's it. Hey, Raymond, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Let's go to Steve in Texas. Welcome, Steve. Steve, are you there? Okay, Steve in Texas. We want to hold off on Steve and come back to Steve. Steve, we're going to put you on hold. And let's go to Ken in Texas. Ken, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I certainly enjoy programs like yours. They give us, and when I say us, I'm mainly referring to believers who are looking for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They give us something to think about, and occasionally we get glimpses of what the rule and the reign of the Antichrist is going to be like. We see things being prepared, the stage being set. Mm-hmm. And having said that, it dawned on me listening to the conversation earlier about the illegal immigration issue and how the authorities are turning their backs on the laws and the measures employed in previous decades to keep our country safe and to monitor those that come in and those that leave. And I realized something about the rule of the Antichrist. It's found in Daniel chapter 11, and I believe it's in that context that the Bible states that what he'll do is he'll begin to divide the spoil that he realizes from doing government and business in the way that he'll be conducting it. He'll divide it amongst his cohorts. So this is something that is not just confined to the United States. I believe it's worldwide. There's an international network of powers and people that are desiring power and control and wealth. And so I see these things, and it's, you know, when you talk about it on your program day after day, I know it's got to be difficult because sometimes it just defies logic. But when you understand what the Bible says, you can begin to see just how ludicrous it is. It's as ludicrous as Satan thinking once he's released from his thousand-year millennial prison, that he'll actually be successful in doing anything after Christ has reigned for a thousand years. But
amen.
Nonetheless,
Ken, I'm going to have to stop you there. But that, listen, you made a lot of powerful theological points, and you're right. I mean, this is not just an American problem. This is a worldwide problem. Thank you so much for the call, Ken. Let's go to, because we're getting close to the end, and I want to get as many of you in as I can, all of you if possible, who are still waiting. Let's go to, is it Okami in Ohio? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
As close as you can without a Japanese accent.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad I got close.
I've got a comment dash kind of a question.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you often say that the system, that the government that we have is a constitutional republic, not a democracy.
Right.
And as far as I understand, a democracy is more of a system or a form of operation of government rather than a type of government. So well, you can have a democracy. Go ahead.
Well, that's not quite true because, of course, we could get into nuances about a pure democracy versus a democracy that's got certain other elements in it. But remember, I say that primarily because in Federalist, I think it's Federalist 10, James Madison made clear that they did not want a democracy precisely because of some of the characteristics that it brings with it. They wanted something that would be a restraint even on the majority. So that's the reason we are a constitutional republic. So even the majority doesn't have the power to do certain things. So go ahead. Go ahead and further make your point. Go ahead.
Go. So, I mean, you basically explained it as completely.
Oh. Okay.
But basically, the idea was that democracy is a group of people voting on the issues that involve the entirety, usually the entire population or the eligible majority of the population. But I guess it just breaks down to whether or not it's the majority rules versus the actual rules and regulations we put in place to kind of control how it goes.
Exactly. Okay, Okami, I've got to run, but that's something we could discuss at greater length. We do use democratic principles to govern this constitutional republic, but that's why it's not a democracy. In a pure democracy, the people vote on everything, and their representatives simply carry out what the people tell them to do. In a constitutional republic, even the people don't have the ability to command that their representatives do certain things because the Constitution forbids it and limits the power of that government. So, all right, let's go to Matt in Texas. Matt, welcome.
Hello.
Matt, you're on. Yes, yes, welcome.
Bishop, I'm glad to listen to you, man. I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, and I really like what you're preaching.
Thank
the question
you,
I have is asking, or always saying we need to get out and vote and to make a change. What about the voter fraud? You hear all this stuff about voter fraud, and I'm just wondering, you know, is voting really going to help anymore? And I'll get off here and let you speak on it. And just,
sure.
I just thank you for what you do, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Matt. Matt, in the short time I have, I would simply say you need to get in touch with your local legislators. I'm talking about Texas legislators, not just those in Congress, Texas legislators, and demand that they protect the integrity of the voting process. Voter IDs, proof of signature, of authenticity of signature, proof of residency, no ballot harvesting, no mail-in ballots except for people who are maybe handicapped, can't get out, that kind of thing. These states are going to have to handle their business so that people like you don't think, what's the point in voting? But that's never the answer, Matt, because if we do that, we give it to them. Okay. Well, you know what, folks? That's going to do it. Steve, I wanted to get to you badly, but I didn't quite make it. So call me back, okay? Folks, as always, thank you all for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out our podcast. That's very important to us. And in the meantime, just don't quit. Don't give up. That's right, Matt. Don't get discouraged. Your vote is going to matter. We're going to see to that, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.